For argument is home repair versus universal restoration. Mr. Caruso.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Carmen Caruso, and I'm counsel for home repair. Your Honor, we have a two-count complaint for breach of contract and common law fraud arising out of a letter of agreement that was signed back in October of 1997, where the defendant, which is now known as Universal, agreed to sell its business to the plaintiff. The catch was that it was a franchise business, and the agreement provided that, as a condition, the parties would secure the necessary approvals, which included certain approvals from the franchisor, and also that they would ultimately have a final agreement.
Is that accurate quotation, would secure?
Well,
what did it actually say?
I wasn't attempting to quote, and I apologize. What it says is that the transaction is conditioned on upon satisfactory completion of the following, and then it lists the conditions as A and B.
Where's the would secure?
Well, the condition is that it was conditioned upon receipt of all approval.
Well, that's different, isn't it? Look, what I find troublesome in your interpretation of the contract is you seem to think this language you just quoted required Universal to sue, to litigate to judgment, to appeal, to go to the Supreme Court, to incur indefinite expenditures in order to get this PWDS restriction lifted. Is that a realistic interpretation?
I think that as of November, when they learned that Paul Davis would not accept the contract as written, there were a lot of things they could have done, and
is there any limit to what you think they were contractually obligated to do?
I think they had...
Did they have to hire the most expensive law firm in the world?
No, I don't think that's true. I think the...
I suppose if they had hired a firm that you regard as mediocre and lost, you'd say, well, they hadn't secured, PWDS's...
There were many things they could have done short of...
No, but the question is, what should they have done? What is your interpretation of the duty that the contract placed on Universal?
A duty of good faith and fair dealing.
What does that mean? It'll be concrete.
To use best...
What do they have to do? What's this word?
Did they have to sue? Possibly.
What do you mean possibly?
Short of suing.
Not short of suing. Was it part of their contractual obligation that if other measures didn't succeed, they had to sue?
I think that's a reasonable interpretation.
Well, I don't think it's a reasonable interpretation, because I would think if someone were undertaking to incur indefinite expenses to bring a lawsuit to get a condition satisfied, there would be more of a clue in the contractual language.
I think there were things that could have been done short of litigation, and that might have
been... That's irrelevant to your argument, because you think litigation is part of what they were contractually obligated to do. You said that in your brief.
I said that the duty of good faith and fair dealing gave them a duty to try and get approval.
Including a duty to sue,
yes,
if they couldn't succeed by other means, right?
I said that. But I think the other means must also be considered in the first place.
I don't know why. Your interpretation of the contract is they had, if other measures failed, they had to sue.
I think that the circumstances
took that out of the language of the contract.
I think the first thing they would have done would be to resubmit the agreement.
The first thing they would have done. The point is, you've imposed on this language a completely open-ended and very onerous obligation on Universal.
But even if that's not accurate, there would still be plenty of room in this language for Universal to have taken additional steps after they were turned down the first time to try and get the approval.
Why didn't you take some steps? You're a franchisee also.
We were kept in silence, and the course of performance... the way this agreement was performed, the course of performance was...
Why did you think this contract required Universal rather than you to go to PWDS?
Because, first of all, in the first instance...
You had a relationship with PWDS also.
Under a different franchise agreement for Arkansas. Universal was the party under this franchise agreement for the Chicago territory, and if it wanted to sell or transfer its franchises under its agreement, then it had to seek the approval, so that it was the party withstanding under the franchise agreement, the rights of which were being transferred to the Arkansas franchisee, Home Repair. And the course of performance, and even if that term was not clarified expressly...
Do you think it would have done any good for Universal to have jump through hoops to try to get this condition lifted?
I think the first hoop wasn't that difficult to jump through, and that would have been to resubmit it without paragraph 7, the miscellaneous clause.
Sure, and but that wouldn't have done anything, right?
No,
what
I think it would have.
How would you expect to prove damages in a case like this?
Well, are you asking about causation? Which is
right, exactly.
I think that we can show from the testimony of Paul Davis that if we had taken paragraph 7 out, it would have been approved. Home Repair was a franchisee in good standing, as you've acknowledged. They would have qualified for this franchise, and but for this one paragraph 7 that Paul Davis was not accepting, this transaction could have been approved. And I don't think it...
Universal wanted paragraph 7, didn't it?
They wanted paragraph 7, but it wasn't necessary for the approval process, as they've so alleged in their separate lawsuit against Paul Davis.
Mm. And as soon as you start saying wasn't necessary for the approval process, then you're saying that what this agreement required would be, say, Universal would have to pay Paul Davis whatever Paul Davis demanded to approve. There are ways for Universal to pay. One is in cash, one is by agreeing to a no-compete, and there are lots of other ways to pay. But what is it about the letter agreement that required Universal to compensate Paul Davis for approving the transfer?
I don't think the letter agreement addresses that.
Then your answer is nothing in the letter agreement requires Universal to compensate Paul Davis.
The answer is that the letter agreement required Universal to seek approval of the transaction, which was the sale transaction.
You're surely not arguing that they have to do everything.
I think
because everything includes paying Paul, agreeing to pay Paul Davis the gross national product of South Korea.
I think,
and the agreement doesn't require that.
I think that stems from a misperception of the language of paragraph 7. Paragraph 7 was not a written request by Paul Davis to waive its rights to enforce the universal non-compete. It was a statement that the buyer, the new franchisee, would not bring a lawsuit against Universal if Universal were to sue. That statement in itself did not require Paul Davis to approve or disapprove, and whether it was in there or taken out of there in order to secure the approval, Universal's rights vis-a-vis Paul Davis would not be increased or decreased, because regardless of whether paragraph 7 is in the letter agreement when it's approved or if paragraph 7 is taken out before the approval, either way, Paul Davis would have been free to enforce its right as the franchisor on the non-compete. All this was saying is that the buyer, the new franchisee, would not try and enforce the non-compete without restricting Paul Davis. Over and above that, and I'd like to just briefly mention our
front plan. Now I've lost the thread. If Davis won't consent, then what is Universal supposed to do? I mean, the whole idea was they wanted to continue in this business.
Paul Davis invited a resubmission. They said, they pointed to paragraph 7 and said, we can't approve this. If you want to submit it in another form, we'll take another look.
What does it mean in another form?
To take paragraph 7 out.
But then Universal couldn't engage in the business.
But that's my point, Your Honor. Paragraph 7, and I ask you to read it carefully, it is not a statement that in approving this agreement or asking Paul Davis to approve it, that we're asking Paul Davis to waive its legal rights. Paragraph 7 was irrelevant to Paul Davis's legal rights, which is why there was no need to get the approval of Paul Davis for paragraph 7. So having paragraph 7 approved, if Universal had succeeded on its first try and Paul Davis stamped approval as written, Paul Davis could have still sued because paragraph 7 was not a waiver by Paul Davis. That's my point, that paragraph 7 became a red herring here, and the simplest thing to do, way short of litigation, would have been to simply drop it, go back, get approval, and that would have been consistent with the verbal handshake agreement when Mr. Tucker met with Mr. Goldstein before they wrote up this letter agreement.
But then Universal would have to leave the business.
No, they would not
you
have.
You say that Paul Davis could still sue it.
That's a separate dispute. We have a triangle here, and all we're talking about in this lawsuit is...
I'm completely wrong.
All we're saying here is that...
I thought the whole essence of this contract was that Universal, the approval Universal wanted, was to so that it could sell these, transfer these franchises, but continue to be in the business.
It wanted the buyer, Home Repair, to acknowledge that, but there was nothing in the approval that would have required Paul Davis to waive his rights. Home Repair never put in, I strike that, Universal did not say in this letter agreement that as a condition for us to sell to you, the franchisor must waive its non-compete. It's just not there. And that's ultimately why we believe the district court was wrong on the contract count.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Caruso. Mr. Holman?
Good morning, Your Honors. Neil Holman on behalf of Universal Restoration Services. We view this case, Your Honor, as an attempt by Home Repair to convert a two-page letter of intent, letter of agreement, whatever you want to call it, into a binding contract of sale of two extremely valuable franchises. But in terms of the letter agreement itself, that result simply is not possible. There were two very specific conditions contained in that letter which were undisputably not met. The first stipulation was that there had to be a mutually acceptable purchase agreement. The second, and which Mr. Caruso addressed primarily, was this idea of the receipt of all approvals, including the receipt of the approval by Paul Davis.
What about his argument that if Universal had removed paragraph 7, Paul Davis would have approved?
But by the allegations of Mr. Caruso's complaint, in which he quotes the letter that Paul Davis sent when it rejected the deal initially, the letter sent by Paul Davis said, we reject this agreement. We will require Universal to agree to not compete, and we will require Universal to sign a voluntary termination agreement.
Well, I thought he said all that Paul Davis required was dropping paragraph 7.
That's not correct. In the complaint, it's alleged. The language of the refusal letter says, I don't have it word for word, but essentially it said, we will require the transferring franchisee to agree to not compete in the territories and to sign a voluntary termination agreement in which they commit to honor the non-compete for 2 years. Now, it would make no sense whatsoever for Universal to agree to that under the circumstances of the transaction that they had talked about with Home Repair. The idea, as Your Honor noted, was for Universal to be able to remain in business in the territories that were being sold to Home Repair, albeit under a different name. If they had done what Mr. Caruso and Home Repair are now suggesting, which is submit this agreement back to Paul Davis, the only way Paul Davis would have agreed to it and approved it, or actually they didn't even say agree, they said reconsider. The only way they would have reconsidered it is if Universal would have said, we will not be competing in this territory, we will not be in this business. And had they gone ahead and signed that voluntary termination agreement that Paul Davis said they would have to sign, they would have had to do so knowing that it was their intention immediately after signing it to breach it and to continue on. That would have been a fraud from the outset on Paul Davis, the franchisor. The letter agreement doesn't require my client to commit a fraud on the franchisor, nor does any case or law require them to do that. That's why the whole argument makes no sense whatsoever. The agreement was quite simple. We needed the approval to go forward. We didn't get it. That letter agreement was dead and over upon receipt of the initial letter from Paul Davis. There weren't any further discussions about how to resubmit it because the terms that Paul Davis had put down for a resubmission wouldn't have worked. It would have been ridiculous for Universal to do that, because to do that, they would have received, as the district court noted, a sweetheart deal, $400,000 for these franchises. And the reason the price was so low was because Universal was going to get to continue to operate. Had they done what Mr. Caruso now suggests they should have done, they would have received this sweetheart deal, or Home Repair would receive this sweetheart deal. We would have received $400,000, which wasn't paid up front, it was paid over time. They'd been required to litigate. If we lost the litigation, it would have nothing. And this would have been the transfer of a $10 million a year business. That just makes no sense whatsoever. Now, the other quite simple answer to this whole question is also contained in the letter agreement itself, in which it says there must be a mutually acceptable purchase agreement. That never happened either. And Illinois law is clear, and there's legions of cases that say...
Hey, Mr. Holman, what's the status of the other pieces of ongoing litigation? Universal against Paul Davis and Home Repair against Paul Davis.
They're all settled. The Home Repair versus Paul Davis was settled about a year and a half ago. It was an arbitration between Universal and Paul Davis, the franchisor, was settled in June of 2002.
Okay, thank you.
So this is the last piece. I mean, and the other litigation is interesting when you put it in the context of what is now being alleged with respect to my client and all these things that they should have done to have this transaction go forward. The primary allegation in Home Repair's initial complaint against Paul Davis for the failure of this transaction that we're here on today is that the refusal was generated on racial means. Now, they went through a motion to dismiss, motion for summary judgment, and the arguments based on a racial claim withstood all that. And that was about to go to trial before that case was settled. Now...
Did you say racial?
Racial.
Racial?
Yeah. Race? It was a race discrimination case. And now we're here arguing that that transaction didn't go forward because my client didn't sue Paul Davis, didn't pay them whatever they wanted to do, and didn't agree to give up its $10 million business and maybe not have anything left after it was all said and done. And as a matter of fact, my client did sue Paul Davis over this contract and alleged that they should have approved it and didn't. Now, that was a tenacious arbitration, lasted several years. It was settled very expensive, but Paul Davis wasn't going to lay down on any of us. So the whole idea that Home Repair has put forward as to why we still need to sell them this business just makes no sense. And the district court noted that in its opinions, that the allegations that are in this complaint, and sure, you have to take them as true, they can't contradict what's on paper, what's in that letter agreement. That says you need the approval. They didn't get it. You need an agreement. There wasn't an agreement. There's just no sale here to talk about. I think that pretty much answers the case, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Holman. Mr. Russo, your time expired, but we'll give you a minute if you have any note.
Okay. I go back to the duty of good faith and fair dealing as a response to the argument there was no binding agreement. If there was, their contention is that there was no duty whatsoever owed to Home Repair after the letter agreement was signed, taking their position to its conclusion, so that if after the agreement was signed, if Mr. Goldstein, let's say, received a higher or better offer, he could have gone with the higher offer and owed no duty to Home Repair. I don't think that's the law. There was a duty of good faith to get the approvals consistent with the franchise agreements and consistent with the letter agreements. And ultimately, my contention is that it was a question of fact as to what could have been done if Universal had elected to treat the letter agreement as an obligation imposing a good faith requirement instead of simply disregarding it and then negotiating on its own with Paul Davis and ultimately misleading us as to the status of those negotiations. These arguments are in my brief, Your Honors, and I thank you for your consideration.
Okay, thank you to both counsel. Next case for argument, United